You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
If you've been struggling to complete a new Lego set these holidays, you are not alone, and there's a reason why. New research out of the University of Canterbury, which used data from nearly 11,000 Lego sets, shows that the ranges of Lego have increased in both complexity and size over the years. I spoke to Associate Professor Christoph Bartnick to find out more.
So we did an analysis on essentially the whole inventory of all the Lego sets that the Lego company has ever produced. And this is an excellent exercise in applied statistics, and you can see how these kind of things that you learn with applied statistics can actually be useful in all sorts of different ways. So we ran essentially several statistics on top of this data. Some of them were easier, some of them were more difficult. So the really easy things are you just look at how many new sets, for example, has Lego produced every year. And what you find is that you have an annual growth rate of approximately 7%. So every year, the Lego company produces more sets in a year. While at the same time, the sizes of the sets also get bigger. They increase by approximately 1.9% annually. And if you look at the maximum number of bricks in a set, so it means like what is the biggest set per year, that actually has been increasing at a staggering 5%. So these days, you get Lego sets which are above and beyond 5,000 bricks as the biggest set, whereas this was unthinkable, let's say, in the 70s. So those were some of the more easier things that you can look at. And what we also then looked down is actually at the actual Lego bricks. So the average number of bricks that are different, you can have like still, let's say, a 5,000 piece set, but let's say it's only made of two different bricks, right? So just the total number doesn't necessarily say much, but you also have to look at, you know, how different are the bricks within the set. And that has also been different by approximately 2.4%. But what is more interestingly is when we get now into more advanced statistics is that the odds of a set containing a unique brick increased by 2.9% annually. So a unique brick is a brick that only ever appears in one set. And unless you have bought that set with that brick, you can never complete that set. So what happens is that over time, what you see is that, you know, the ability of you, like if I say buy these three, four sets, you know, what other sets can I build with it has actually been decreased simply due to the fact that these days sets contain specialized bricks that are not in no other set. So that's a bit of an issue.
I can't fathom buying one of those 5,000 piece sets and losing one of the key pieces that aren't interchangeable.
Yes, indeed. I mean, if you have 5,000 bricks, of course, you know, there's a relatively lower chance, but and also you might be able to use your creativity and kind of work around it instead of having this one specialized brick. You maybe find a combination of other bricks as a replacement. But nevertheless, what we see is that, you know, the Lego company continuously introduces new bricks. And that partly makes it harder for all of us to work this principle. I mean, the principal idea of Lego is that it should be universal bricks that can be used for anything. And that is kind of slowly, ever so slowly fading away, that you get more and more sets which can only be built with the bricks that are in the original set. Yeah, that is a tendency that we observed. But besides that, when we go even into more, if you go into the heart of it and you try to understand with what you mean with, what do we mean by how specialized the set has become, that is actually a bit more tricky mathematically. And so we have come up with a commonality index. And this index essentially tells you how many bricks does this set share with X number of other bricks, for example, within the same year. And what we find there is that within a year, of course, the sets do share a lot of bricks. But if you then go 5 years down the road, that decreases at a rate of approximately 2%. And what, of course, happens is that, let's say, Lego introduces a new theme, and then this theme runs for a couple of years, and then, you know, the theme slowly dies out. And so we look at a time horizon of approximately 5 years, and we looked at what are the odds of a brick reoccurring again after it was first introduced in a given year. And these odds have decreased by approximately 2.4%. So what we really see is that it's become more and more of a fashion that, you know, in a certain year, certain sets are available and you can buy them. But later on, it will be very hard for you to build these old sets out of the current bricks that are available. Now, the question, of course, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing that this is happening? I mean, the statistics only describe what is. But the sort of like evaluation of what does it mean for you and your children is a bit more tricky. I usually use the metaphor of a language. So in a way, what's happening is that Lego is expanding its language. And if you have more words available to you, you can actually be more expressive in what you do. So in a way, it's a good thing that you have ever more words or bricks in your repertoire of things, and you can build nicer and things essentially. But on the downside, what you also see is that Lego is more and more becoming like a big puzzle that you have to solve. And then if you follow the instructions step by step, then in the end, as the reward, you get the full model. But the chances of your child actually taking the model apart again and doing something else with it seems to be decreasing. And that is something that worries me a little bit, because, again, it goes back to the original principle of the brick, which is supposed to be universal. So what you do is you have a stash of Lego and you just build whatever comes to your mind. And that is, in my belief, happening less and less. Now, we can't back that up with our data, of course, but what we still see is that, you know, the Lego sets are very, very strongly linked to, let's say, themes like movies that run in the cinema. So, for example, there's Lego Star Wars, and that is a very successful line. But that kind of directs the child's imagination in a certain direction. And, of course, the kids want to have a Millennium Falcon, and that's fine. But what I would like to see is that they take the Millennium Falcon and they make it even better, or they change something, or they do something to it. For this to happen, of course, you need to have, you know, creativity in it, and that's what the tools, or let's say the toy, is all about. And again, in a positive way, you now have more bricks available to you to do more things. But on the negative side, it might actually become a bit overwhelming. And also, you are less able to build other sets with the sets that you already own. So these are some of the observations we made here at the University of Canterbury. And again, this is an example of applied statistics. So where you do a lot of data mining in the beginning, you gather a lot of data, which is an interesting exercise in itself. And then you essentially run some statistics on top of it, and you learn something about the world. And it goes beyond just, let's say, our intuition or our belief that we have observed when we go into the shop and we think like, yeah, well, you know, it looks like it's different. No, but now we can actually put a number to it, to exactly how much it is different. And that is the power of statistics, that it allows you to move away from just believing something intuitively into something that you know as a fact.
So what exactly is data mining?
Oh, data mining refers to, as the name almost implies, is that you have data scattered around and you dig and dig and dig and get the data out. So in this particular instance, the Lego company does not share its inventories. I mean, they do share the building instructions, but they don't have, let's say, a big table that tells you where what set was contained, which bricks. That does not exist from Lego directly. However, the fans have been very, very, very keen on doing exactly that. So they have started to inventorize every set that ever came out. And what you need to do is you need to get access to this kind of databases and take the data down and bring it into a format that you can then use as an input for your analysis.
Okay. I understand you used almost 11,000 Lego sets.
That's correct. We were trying to be complete at the time when we ran it. But since, this is a project that I'd say is not in the main line of our investigation, so we do it essentially on the side as just out of curiosity, really. It's the driving force behind it. So it took some time for us to really work through all of this. But yes, we were trying to be complete, to have access to all of the sets, and we had cut off year. So we started working on it in 2016. At that time, of course, it was unclear how many more sets Lego will release in that year. So we cut it down until 2015.
What else might this technique be useful for?
Well, that's a good question. Well, the techniques that we used are kind of standard techniques in data mining and statistics. So there's nothing here that is so outstanding in the sense that it's like a revolution in statistics. You know, no, that didn't happen. What we did came up with, indeed, was a commonality index. So somehow you have to find a way of specifying exactly what do you mean with how specialized a set is. And that is something which we contributed new. So this is something that wasn't there before. And what you can do with this, once this index exists, indeed, you can continue monitor it and then compare it to, you know, all the following years. And you can always look back and see how things changed. So that is, I think, a contribution that we made, besides the fact of being actually able to assign some real numbers to our beliefs or our preconceptions about, you know, how things have changed. And if you go to a Lego store these days, particularly, let's say if you take your grandparents with you, you know, and they will go and say, oh, this was so different when we used to do it. Like, we only had, like, you know, five different bricks and we had to create everything out of it. You know, you hear these stories very often. But again, there's a difference between people believing it and telling stories and having intuition about things and being able to actually have the data to back it up. And what we indeed did is to find this data, digest this data, and for coming up with statistical tests to actually be able to tell exactly how much this has changed.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.